Meet Megan Harper, who founded a social media agency with another mom and had a 5-year stopover in bartending and hospitality. And if you're running a business, this marketing whiz worked at Jet Black, Tiny Beans, and Red Tricycle and has some great tips.
To be honest with you, an influencer one-off post does absolutely nothing. It's not going to do anything for you.
Then parenting data expert Emily Oster shares a moment that's both embarrassing and upsetting.
I plugged in my breast pump and it went and then it like exploded.
This is Mom's Exit Interview, the show for moms who want to craft the career and life they want. Each episode, you'll meet inspirational moms across various industries and levels who are working and living life on their own terms. And they'll bring you actionable tips from finance to business development to happiness to crushing that imposter syndrome. I'm Kim Ritberg. I was a burnt out media executive at Netflix, Us Weekly, and in TV news. I wanted a career where I was fulfilled at work, but present at home with my kids. So I started working for myself, and I love it. But not every day was easy, or is easy. I wanted to explore with all of you how other moms were creating careers on their own terms. They're carving out flex jobs, starting their own businesses, they're taking back control. Join me and make work work for you instead of the other way around. Keep your fun feedback coming. You know I read every single note and I reply. I even have some now new fun pen pals from around the country. You know who you are. And we are all here listening to Mom's Exit Interview because we want to craft the life we want. So if you're a business owner or a professional and you're not showing up on video, like maybe you're overwhelmed by how to make video, or you need some help and accountability. If you want to attract clients while you sleep, because while you're sleeping, the internet is still awake. So if you make awesome video, you're marketing yourself while you're sleeping. It has happened to my clients. I have seen them transform. They get clients and make sales directly from their video content. So for the first time ever, I'm doing a group course. So if you're struggling to show up on video and really use it to drive business, I will help you make better content consistently and efficiently. I'll teach you how to make more content with less so you're not burnt out. Applications are open now. Go to my website to apply, kimritberg.com, and it's linked out in the show notes. And now Megan Harper is here. She's got an interesting backstory on how she found her path. She went from marketing to bartending to sommelier training and back to marketing. She just started an agency called Authentic with a former colleague and fellow mom after many years in the startup world. And she says she's never been happier. She's also dropping some super valuable tips on how to market your small business, where to put your money if you're thinking about influencer marketing, and so much more. We started with her career path.
So funny career path. Went to, moved to New York. Market crashed, as you know. I graduated, right when that market crashed. Everyone who had corporate jobs lost their jobs. I was bartending at a place a lot like Coyote Ugly 2 nights a week. Down in the East Village. And I actually bartended there and made more money bartending than I ever did in my corporate world. So I went, I bartended, through my early 20s. I actually was the first female bartender at Pastis. They only had been there before I came. So yeah, I worked there, got into the wine business, got really excited about wine and started training up to be a sommelier, worked as a wine director in a different places. And then after my son was born, I realized that I really didn't love getting home at 2 o'clock in the morning and waking up at 6 a.m. with a baby, even though, I love the restaurant industry in New York. I think it's amazing. My husband is a financial controller for restaurants. So it was kind of like in the family business that we worked. Then I started looking for another career path, and I ended up going to Jet Black, where I started out in startups. Jet Black was a startup backed by Walmart. We were in store number 8.
Jet Black was a text-based commerce platform. So basically, you could text, "Hi, I need wipes," or "Hi, I need diapers," and they would send it to you.
I've always been into marketing. It's always been kind of like what I've enjoyed doing. I think I found my calling pretty early when it comes to that space. I was just always good at it, and networking and being, kind of the life of the party and figuring out, what people enjoyed. I don't know. I've always been good at marketing and I've always stuck with it. So I've kind of been in the marketing space for years. And then when social media came along, it was just a game changer and something I really something I enjoy doing. So I think that's what changed the game is when this little app called Instagram launched, I realized that was really where I would excel.
And then how long were you sort of taking that other route down bartending and down sommelier path? So you started in marketing and now you're back in marketing. How long were you on that other path?
Almost 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Almost 5 years until I got pregnant pretty young in New York, which 26-year-old having a baby in New York is like a teenager anywhere else in the United States having a baby. So I had my first pretty young. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. New York has a different expectation, right? We're like, oh, having a baby at 35 is totally normal. And having a baby at 26, totally not normal, but just not middle of average. Not average mathematically.
No, yeah, very on the lower end of the young mom status. So, you know, when my son was first born, like I had no mom friends that were my age. All of my friends were out partying and, you know, club hopping still. And I was home with a baby, which was a little bit different. Different.
Different good or different challenging or?
It was lonely. It was lonely because a lot of the times I used to have girlfriends come over and pregame with me and the baby and then go out all night. And I would just be like, okay. Hawk was like 6 months old, but we lived in the city. So we would have friends come over and pregame and then head out. My husband was actually starting his job and he was starting his company at the time as well. And he was also the beverage director for Monkey Bar in Midtown. So he was working, you know, some days he would leave at 8 o'clock in the morning and go to his office and then it wouldn't come home till 2 a.m. So like, it was a very lonely time when I first had my son because my husband was working double time because I was staying home with my son at the time, trying to figure out next steps because I didn't want to be working late nights without him.
And then, so you said a big part of your decision to go back to marketing from hospitality is because the hours are better. It's just an easier life when you're sort of in a, you know, office type of job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Much easier life when it's that kind of job.
At the same time, Megan had started getting into social media, posting about her life with her kids as girl gone child, as a play on the words, girls gone wild, because she went from young party girl to mom.
When I started working with Parents Magazine, doing all of their wine content, pairing kids snacks with wine, we launched Target's wine there. And, you know, we had a lot of fun. So I was working with outlets like Parents Magazine. I started doing panels. You know, overnight, I kind of blew up, which was cool. But I think a lot of people, why my personal social was blowing up was I'm now a mom of two. I've now had another baby. I'm now a mom of two. I work full time in this really cool startup in New York City. I kind of just, you know, let my SHIT show fly. It was hard because we were both working parents with young kids working in the startup life. And my social was kind of growing just watching my career and watching me parent two kids all over New York City.
I was going to ask you that. So what do you think it was about your Instagram that took you, because a lot of people are looking to grow, obviously, that took you from 2,000 to 5,000 to 10,000? Like, what were you sharing on your Instagram? And what do you think people were connecting with you about that they wanted to follow you?
Parenting, but like not always the pretty side of parenting. I think I was very honest and raw. And that's what set me apart from the pretty pictures of the Instagram moms at the time. And I think like being just myself, especially when stories came out and I could kind of like have a whole nother voice and have, you know, the person behind the curtain was lifted and I got to kind of talk more directly to my followers. That's when I really started to grow. And still to this day, like I have like 19,000 followers, but the crazy part is that I have like 4,000 views in my stories a day. Like people come to watch whatever funny things are going on in our lives. And, you know, I meet random strangers all the time and they'll be like, hey, I know you don't know me, but I know your kids like the back of my hand. I've been following your journey for years. I've had people in Central Park walking around Central Park with the kids run up and be like, Gigi, Hawk. And she's like, I know they don't know me, but I've followed them since they were babies. And I think, you know, my husband and I really believed in like taking the kids out to eat. We kept living our lives the best we could with kids. And I think people enjoyed watching that a lot too. We still were people and we would take them to do fun things. The more my social account grew, I definitely feel like, and the more networking I did, that's definitely when my career started taking off. So we're talking 2016, 2017.
So number one, you feel like you being authentic and really pulling back the curtain and it not being so picture perfect, people were attracted to, and the way you lived your life. So it's both that you were open and authentic and that your life was a little different than other people's lives. Like you were a young mom and you were still having fun and not so strict, like that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And like, we're also like, we also, my husband and I, like, we were not, you know, we weren't super wealthy. We were like showing that you could be in New York City and have kids. And if you worked really hard, like you could live your dream of doing that. And I think that was kind of important that, you know, we were very much ourselves and we weren't, you know, living in a penthouse somewhere, or we didn't come from money. We were more, you know, self-made in that way.
Megan says because she was doing so much social, she got great full-time job opportunities out of it.
My job was to make sure if you were a Jet Black mom, and this was, you know, you had to wait on a list. It was a long list to get in to be a Jet Black mom and get this like special concierge service. My job was to make sure that if you were a Jet Black mom, you showed up on the playground with the best stroller, the best, you know, the best stroller, the best diaper bag. Your kid had the most fashionable clothes, shoes, whatever it was, whatever was trending. I had to know those trends. So I think being very involved in that also took my Instagram and marketing abilities up a notch, because I always had to be in the know of the next coolest thing launching, the next coolest thing coming out, like what is trending. You know, with the Art of Pop carrier, I was one of the first people to have one of those. Like, you know, like I think like I had one of those before it was like cool to have the Art of Pop. I don't know. Like, I think like the merchandising part of that was a huge piece of it. But then I also worked in marketing, helping build out all of our influencer programs when people were just starting dabbling in influencer marketing. That was definitely a key part of what I was doing, was working with influencers.
Megan worked in marketing at Tiny Beans, which was acquired by Red Tricycle, which features local events. And then she was at meal planning company Yumble. She was laid off at Yumble and was freelancing. And they moved to Charlotte during the pandemic because her family's there. And then her former colleague, Lindsay, reached out.
Lindsay Donnelly, who started her agency Authentic, suggested that maybe I should come work with her at her agency and we combine forces. And I've been there since December, and I honestly have never felt so fulfilled in a career in the last month and a half. It's been a really nice transition, and I'm learning a lot, and I'm very, very happy that I made this switch over.
In the bigger companies, when you were living in New York, you had three kids, your husband's working, you know, crazy hours. You know, did you find it very hard to balance? And how did you balance having three young kids and all that?
We had a nanny share. And I still text with that lady because she was just like the angel to us when we were going through this. Thank goodness for pre-K, free pre-K. So I had a free pre-K kit. I had one in preschool. And then I also had the nanny share. But, you know, you're thinking like two working parents. I mean, our bills for childcare were like $5,000 a month, at least. Like, well, you know, with three kids in New York, it really adds up. And then after you spend a year in an apartment, not leaving or enjoying the city, you're like, why am I doing this? Why are we doing this? This is silly. You know, when we moved here, we saw no end to the pandemic, to be honest with you. So that's a lot of the reason why we moved. We were at our wits' end. We couldn't do it anymore. So we just, you know, left our jobs, packed up and moved here and just hope for the best.
It's interesting. So my husband and I, we live in Brooklyn, and we have, during the pandemic, decided we definitely are staying. You know, we're not decamping to the suburbs, but I made us promise if we're going to live in New York and endure, obviously New York's more expensive, you get less space, like all of the things. I said, we have to take advantage of the city more. Like, we need to go to museums. I love going to comedy shows. I was like, we need to see more Broadway plays. And we've been good about it, you know, because I do think there's a plus and minus of every city, and whatever decision you're making, you have to be like, this is an intentional decision. These were the pros. These were the cons. And this is my commitment to myself. And we're doing it. You know, we're going to see Funny Girl soon. And, you know, we've been seeing already some, we saw a comedy show recently. We go to museums. So I feel like we're doing it, but it was that conscious decision of take advantage of it if you're going to make this commitment to live in a very, you know, expensive city.
Yeah, I really think too, the third kid just adds on a whole nother level, because then you're outnumbered in the city. So I think the third one really was like, are we going to do this? I don't know if this is the best thing, you know, looking at different places. But then after my dad got sick, and, you know, it just made a lot more sense to be a little bit closer to my parents as well. which I really enjoy being, you know, 30 minutes from them. It's nice.
No, it is really, really nice. I mean, I could say like, oh, I would never live in X place or I would never live in Y place. And the truth is, if my mom were nearby, I would live anywhere. You know, she's such a huge help and my kid's really close to her. So I knock and be like, oh, who would live there? I'm like, I would live there. I would live there if my mom were near there. I asked Megan what advice she'd give to someone looking for balance, and her very honest answer cracked me up.
I take each one of them out on a date about once a month and get some one-on-one time with like individual time with each kid, which is really important. But for me, balance, I don't really know what to say here. I don't do anything for myself. You know, I'm lucky if I get, you know, my hair done once every other month. Like I don't do a good job of self-care. It's not really my stage of life right now with working full-time, running an agency with three kids. I normally fall asleep in my six-year-old's bed most nights, and that's at 8:30 because I'm exhausted. Is that the wrong answer?
No, every answer is the right answer. Whatever is true for you, right?
That is the truth. And I hope that that's okay.
Speaking of balance and not balance, what are your goals for the next year? When you look at the next year, how do you want it to look?
For the next year, I want to bring in, you know, over $1 million revenue for our agency this year, which I think is very doable and very obtainable, especially with the new packages we have rolling out. Another part of what I want to do this year is learn how to be better at self-care, whether if that's something, you know, I do enjoy going to the gym every once in a while because picking heavy things up and throwing them down makes me scream less at everyone in this house. You know, getting back into my hyper-focused gym goals are definitely some goals that I want to see myself do. And just scale our agency is something I'm really excited about doing because I've always been scared to jump over to agency life. And I've always felt secure having that one big job or that one VP of marketing job or CMO job. And I'm really excited to have something that's kind of our own to scale.
I am very excited about this new video tool I'm using. As you may know, my day job is being an award-winning video and podcast strategist and executive producer for professionals and brands. And I am into this new, simple, but impactful video product. It's a little video pop-up. I added it to my website. It's called ChipBot. When you come to my site, my little head pops up and invites you around the space. Here's why I'm excited about it. It's a great way to get more leads and to convert visitors into customers. And it's super easy. It's a little tiny plugin, meaning there's no code involved. People can also start a live chat. It's super easy to set up. You can have their folks on camera in the video, introducing the website, or you can make your own personal video. Websites can feel static, and it's a simple way to make it become three-dimensional. Plus, you can customize your video so pages have different instructions. I did that. People buy from people, so having that personal touch added to the site is a smart move. I'm excited about it because I work with a lot of professionals, real estate agents, lawyers, doctors, and small business owners, and this adds that extra layer of personalization to push conversions and drive sales. So check it out. Go to chipbot.com and you'll get 50% off the first month on any plan when you add promo code MOMSEXIT. You've had a lot of big jobs at different companies, different startups in marketing, VP, director. How is it different now that you're a partner in this social media agency?
I really think that, you know, Lindsay and I are able to scale this with our relationships, and it's something that's actually ours to build, you know, in hopes of, you know, growing it and making it very successful for all of us. And I think, you know, we're a team, we're owned by moms. We, you know, are founded by moms. We, you know, hire most moms in this business. And like a lot of the people that work on our teams are moms. So I think to me, that is like great that we get to give back to other moms and be able to have, you know, this really, you know, niche agency for baby kid products in this space. If I allow our kids to kind of see us working from home, I love that I get to work from home. And I also love, I travel a lot for work. I'm in New York around twice a month right now. And while I travel a lot for work, it's nice to be flexible and pick my kids up if I need to. It's nice to take the girls to dance and work from the picnic table outside of dance. Like I love having that flexibility and not being tied to an office from, you know, 9 a.m. until 6 p.m.
And talk to me about what Authentic offers. What are the offerings for the agency?
So right now we have two different areas of the business. We just rolled out the IG Bestie program, which is social media help and calendar help. We do basically everything for you from editing reels, to, you know, helping you get a content calendar to be able to scale. We do not write the captions for you, but that's part of the IG Bestie program, and that's under $1,000, which no other agency is doing this right now. So if you are a small business looking for, you know, help growing in social and you feel like you have too much on your plate, like we're the option for you to be able to still be the voice of your company and still like really control the narrative of your company. And, you know, you do all your stories. So when people see behind the scenes, it is that person, but we just help it be scalable and, you know, really for the growth part and help with Reels. You know, now that Reels are here, it's a whole new game changer for all of us. Taking a picture is one thing. Creating Reels is very difficult. I mean, it takes time. It's just a time suck for people that we're trying to alleviate small businesses from so they can go back and run their business. And then the other side of the agency, we have some very large clients that are at full retainer. We do everything from them, and that is a full service agency. And those packages are a little bit more expensive, but we are more affordable than what I'm finding most agencies to be. And then we also are starting all of this events. So events marketing is something that I'm really passionate about. I believe in, you know, coming together with other brands and other community parents and being able to come together in a fun space and be able to have a good time and like connecting them to your brand. I love having events where people leave that event and they fall in love with a new brand or they fall in love. And we did the Mama Said Holiday Market back in December. We had over 1,800 people in the door all day at the Wythe Hotel, you know, shoppable event. Vendors had a lot of sales. People had a really good time. Kids had fun. Parents had fun. Mini bar sponsored an open bar. Cybex had stroller parking. You know, we had a really good time at that event. I think bringing back fun events in the baby kids space is something I'm personally passionate about.
Megan, as a marketing expert and now a co-founder of marketing agency, can you give me your top three small business marketing tips?
Yes. So in the beginning, always say yes to partnerships and networking events. Never say no. Get out there as much as you can. Get your voice out there. Network. Get to know people. If someone asks you to do an IG Live, do it. You never know who you're going to find, who is going to be watching, or you might find another brand's watching and they want to do another IG Live with you. Always say yes, especially in the beginning. To anytime anyone wants to collab with you, I highly recommend that. Another tip for small businesses is, you know, Worthy Threads does a good job of this. Avlumi does a good job of this. Nourish those long-term relationships with influencers. So to be honest with you, an influencer one-off post does absolutely nothing. It's not going to do anything for you. It might not even drive one single sell. However, you know, seeing an influencer post and have a long-term relationship with a brand, especially through gifting or any long-term partnership, especially with small businesses, has so much more impact like really any other like one-off post. I highly recommend nourishing long-term relationships with influencers or brand partners, not just a one-off giveaway. We should have a quarterly giveaway or something like that. Make it very long-term so people are constantly being reminded of your brand. You know, and then another piece that I think is really key with small businesses is it's okay to go out and hire help whenever you're needing it for, I think, marketing purposes. If you are not a marketing guru, you can learn. And like, I have seen people be taught and do a really good job, but it's okay to outsource things. You know, I would never do finances. Not my cup of tea. You know, numbers give me hives. So I'm left-brained as far as it goes. I'm very creative.
Don't worry. I brought the Benadryl.
So I think anytime you can hire help wherever you're not really excelling would be something that I think would be key. But yeah, I truly believe I've seen a lot of small brands scale quickly. So just from nurturing relationships with influencers for long term.
I love that tip about influencer marketing. You know, don't spend your whole budget on getting a Kim Kardashian level talent, which most small businesses can't afford that, but whatever. But don't spend all your money on getting like one post by a big person. It's spread it out across more months, more time. I think that's a really, really solid tip.
And learn how to actually leverage your user-generated content. So let's say you have someone that loves your brand, creating community around that. You know, find someone that's always buying this, always like, let's say I am a t-shirt company and this one great person continues to buy my t-shirts over and over again. I'm going to reach out with her, ask her to send in photos of herself and her children. And then I'm going to do, you know, send her a questionnaire or a Google form and have her quickly fill it out. Like, what's her name? Where's she from? How many kids does she have? And be able to take that story and put it into an email format. take it into a blog post, anything like that. Like, take user-generated content and hit all of your flywheel marketing efforts with that user-generated content. So you're actually getting, you're getting a piece that like feels really authentic and not just a sales ad from an email. You're getting like this really great, well-rounded campaign that you're looking into. Then you're seeing someone that uses their product, and like, people want to know what other people are buying. They just do. That's something I've always found helpful, is like these like Amazon lists and things like that, that people can share on influencers. Like, people buy because they want to, they just go browse because they want to know what other people are buying. If you can do that with your emails and things like that, it's just, you know, how you use your UGC is so important. User generated content is so important, whether it's from an influencer or even a brand rep. Ambassador programs can be really powerful too.
And in terms of that user generated content, you're saying for someone who has a product line and they know there's customer Jane and uses their product. So see if you can get, if they'll let you use their photo or their video and actually make content out of it, and then get more information from them. Tell me a little bit more about yourself. So instead of saying, oh, hey, look, this is Jane from Wyoming, you're like, Jane's a mom of so-and-so. She works in such and such. She loves this product because blah. So really telling the story in addition to getting that user-generated content from her, which is already very valuable. So I think that that's interesting that you're saying, take it that second step, because I think most people would be like, wow, that's so cool. I already have someone on camera using my product. I'm going to use that.
It definitely will help. Once you take that piece, make an Instagram story from it, make an Instagram reel from it, make an email from it. Just actually take it and use it efficiently and not just like put it up in an Instagram post and walk away. You know, if someone's tagging you in photos, reach out to them, slide in their DMs, be like, hi, I'd love to send you another product. Would you mind doing this survey for us? And we'd love to feature you in an email. And normally they'll say yes, especially if they're already tagging you and your product on social, they're okay with you reusing their photos.
I was a creative consultant for a women's beverage brand called, not women's, it's women who run it. It's called Owl's Brew, and it's delicious. It's like hard tea, like really natural ingredients. It's so good. And they had a lot of people tagging them. And yeah, it was like, just ask them for permission. And a lot of times we forget that when you're a small business, the trust is there more, rather than if Nike reached out to you, you're like, it's Nike. What? Like, pay me a lot of money because you're Nike. I think that there's more of a trust and more of a community behind if you're supporting another business. Like, I buy things online and if I'll tag them. I'm like, I'm using your amazing mug, and I'll tag them because I know I'm supporting them. I like that point. And I love the point. I always tell people when I work with my clients on video content, I'm like, you're not making one reel. You're making a reel, a blog, a newsletter, like any content that's in your brain that you think is really good content marketing, it should be used in a lot of different ways. So I totally agree with you. It's not just a reel. It's all of these other things that are getting your brand in different spaces and in people's mindset and in their awareness, you know?
Yeah, I do think those, like, what is it now? You have to see something 16 times before you purchase it. I mean, that it keeps going up because our attention spans keep going down. So, you know, the more times you can take those, you know, awareness points and spread them out, I would recommend doing that.
And do you have any tips specific for DTC, direct to consumer brands?
Yeah, so I worked for several direct to consumer brands. This is an area that I think is really great. Know your subscription model really well. If you are a subscription-based model for a D2C, make sure it's efficient, have focus groups, talk to your people, talk to your consumers, because, you know, what they're wanting, your already buyers are great resources for you. Also for D2C is like, I really believe in like the product marketing aspect and watching the funnel of what's working and what's not for direct-to-consumer marketing, you know, and make sure people are asking for the product to begin with. This is something I've had trouble with brands in the past, is they'll get an idea and think it's great, but they haven't product tested it out in the world. There's no marketing research on it. Is make sure your idea is something people really want first, because I can't market, you know, the best marketer in the world can't market something that no one's asked for. So I think like a lot of the times too, especially in the D2C world, it's like, make sure this is a product that people are really genuinely excited about, and that it will be so much easier for you to market it. And if it's not the product people are really excited about, go and make a product that people are excited about and then try it again. That's my two cents on marketing research with direct to consumer worlds.
What are your top tips for businesses who want to get into influencer marketing?
One of the biggest things with influencers is a lot of people will sometimes go after the very large influencers and think that's what's going to cause conversions. But to be honest with you, the 25,000 follower and under ones are the ones that really drive conversions. You know, I always ask people that come bring me in for influencer campaigns, I'm like, do you want eyeballs or do you want sales? Because those are two completely different campaigns I'm going to run, depending on what you're preferring to do. So if you want sales, I'm going to recommend doing, you know, up to 20 influencers with a lower following versus, you know, going after someone that has, you know, 500,000 followers. They might get you more views and more eyeballs onto your product, but I'm not so sure that they're going to convert because their audience isn't really a niche as much. These smaller influencers have these niches and they have this trust with their audience that they don't really share things unless they've either tested them out or they really, you know, they want their followers to start building more trust with them. So they want to really trust the products and people know that you're not going to be out there. You know, I would never, you know, and say like, you're not going to find me, you know, doing a post about a John Deere tractor. I know nothing about tractors, but you know, like, but you will find me, you know, kids products, my parents products, things like that. Like I know that world, but like you would, you know, it's really about finding like the right audience for these influencers. And once you've found the right audience and you found like, I'm talking about the influencer's audience. Once you found the right influencer with the audience that resonates with you, it's really key. And it's now called allow listing. It was formerly known as white listing, but that's not the correct thing to say in 2023. So we call it allow listing, but some people don't know what that is. So I have to explain it. Allow listing influencer content in UGC videos through Facebook ads is the best way to get your ROI from influencers. Is taking whatever content that they've been working with of real people using your product and turning that into your ad is really the way to go lately for getting conversions with Facebook ads. Because we all know if you work in marketing, Facebook ads have been awful to everyone lately. So that's something I would really recommend.
Well, I think that's interesting because I feel like I hate the word, but it's so true. It's like, it has to really feel sincere and natural and authentic. It's like, it has to be authentic. It has to feel authentic. And that's what we're seeing in the Facebook ads, you know, that when you have user-generated content, the people that like what people like about them is they know it's not a model. You know, your hair is not perfect. Your face is not perfect. It's like, people realize that. It's like instantaneous. You know, in the first second of seeing an ad, you know if it was shot in a studio with a really fancy model or if it's a real person who tried your product. So I think it's not surprising that Facebook ads using user-generated content do really well. And I think that's, yeah.
They do really well.
Yeah.
Our Facebook ad spend would go down and our conversion would go up so much the second we would switch over to non-static ads and use UGC content and video format. It's just what people like to purchase on and click on.
So you see it across the board. Video format does so much better in terms of ads.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every once in a while, carousel will surprise me and outperform it, but not very likely. And I've never once seen a static post outperform a video content or carousel.
Thanks so much to Megan. You can find out more about her agency at showupauthentic.com. And you can follow Megan on Instagram at girlgonechild. And best-selling author and economics professor Emily Oster shares a really embarrassing parenting story.
Okay, so when my daughter was born, we didn't know how to do anything. We were like just totally like out to lunch. And so we had this idea that like if you had enough stuff, it would just like everything would be fixed, right? So it was like so we just had so much stuff, but we had so much like equipment and we hadn't figured out how to use any of it. So the first time we took her to the doctor, we had this little car, like a little like Honda Civic. And we took her to the doctor and we took this, like, we had this, like, one of these snap and go cart, like, you know, stroller things. We had the car seat, put the snap and go in the stroller. We go to the doctor, like, everything is okay. She's like 3 days old. Then we like get back to the car and we don't know how to fold up the snap and go. And we're in the parking lot in this like hotel, because that's where you parked in Chicago for like the doctor's office. So we're like in the hotel, like the valet is there. My husband is like, basically like 4 seconds from throwing the thing in Lake Michigan. Like he basically was just like, I almost threw it in Lake Michigan. Like, it just wouldn't. He's like smashing it and turning it. And I was like, that can't be the way that it works. You know, and we're like screaming at each other. Of course, the baby's crying. My breasts are leaking. Like, the valet is like, you need to move your car. And finally, he like smashed it in the thing. And then we got home, we looked it up, and there was like a thing to do. But I, like, for me, that's just like emblematic of all of the crazy ways in which we thought like technology would save us. Like, my daughter liked to sleep in the rock and play sleeper. So when she was like 4 months old, we went to Spain with my family, which was like the stupidest idea, which I definitely don't recommend. But we were just like, I guess we'll have to bring it. And so we like had this suitcase that was just like the deconstructed rock and play sleeper, because it was just like, I guess and then we also brought the breast pump, because of course you bring the breast pump. And did you know that the breast pump needs a converter and not just an adapter for its plug-in? So when we got to Spain, I plugged in my breast pump and it went, and then it like exploded. And then I didn't have a breast pump. And so then I was like locked to my child. Fortunately, we had the rock and play sleeper with us in our checked luggage. My point is, the first year of having a kid was just a series of terrible embarrassments and catastrophes that happened.
And I know you love listening to other people's stories. Share your own. Check out momsexitinterview.com, hit contact, and just shoot me a note. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to drop a review. And if you want to send in a real mom moment that we'll share on the air, check out momsexitinterview.com. And if you're a professional or small business owner looking to grow your brand through amazing content with no silly dances and with no burnout, check out my website, kimritberg.com, and you can hit contact to chat with me. And thanks for listening. Like, this is the most amazing community, and you guys send in the best feedback. So share it with your friends. Let anyone know who you think would appreciate it. And this is Mom's Exit Interview. I'm your host and executive producer, Kim Ritberg. The show is produced by Henry Street Media. Jillian Grover edited this episode, and Aliza Friedlander is our editorial producer and publicist. I'll see you next time.